Last time I preached to you was on the fourth Sunday, and I tried to speak to you out of the book of Romans. I tried to point out that Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. But you can't start at Romans 8. You have to start back in Romans 1 and work your thread through up to that. I said to some of our brethren this morning, I've got a little discussion group on Facebook, and I said, the old Baptists like to start in Romans 8. Some of those other folks like to start in Romans 10, but you see, Romans 9 and 10, they fall. The point I'm trying to get to this morning is these are all this is a letter that is written to the church at Rome, to all that are, to the called and to those as I read last week, it says, if I can get it back, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, and an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And he goes on and he speaks to those, notice in verse 7, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his salutation or the beginning of his letter. It's important that as we follow along, and I ended last time I was speaking to you in verse 17, verse 16, of course, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I pointed out that the word believeth in that text is a present tense participle. When you see ETH on the end of a verb, you can it could be read as this: for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that is believing. The gospel is to the believer. There's nothing in these first 17 verses except to those who are the called of God, to those the members of the church at Rome, and to those that have been called by the Spirit of God to eternal life. And this gospel is for them. That's what he says. It's for them. Then he takes up, now notice it says, there's two revelations that's spoken of in these chapters. The first one, it says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith in the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. It tells you about all the wonderful things that God's done for us, about the righteousness. It also tells us about our righteousness, which is, we have no righteousness other than that which is imputed to us by God. And it says from faith to faith. The only ones that the gospel is going to benefit is those that have faith. The gospel is to those who have been given faith. Now, where does faith? It's a gift of God, according to Romans, to Ephesians chapter 2. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is a gift. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes by the Spirit of God. And another verse on faith and very familiar to us, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith, you can't believe and you can't understand. You can't do any of these things that God has called upon us to do. Faith is the essence of God in our soul. And it is something that is, and that's why in the latter part of this chapter, and I wonder, first of all, there is a revelation of God and his righteousness that we receive through faith in the gospel. That's first revelation. The next revelation, and notice it begins in verse 18, And we're going to try to get down through some of these verses. It's obvious I can't take all of these verses and try to get to all of them this morning in 35 minutes. But I want to point out some very specific things that we need to notice as we're reading the first 16 verses. The first 16 verses, you find pronouns. They're all first person, personal pronouns. All right, now, and I'm not going to go read all those, but we have we, and ye, and you, and I, and your, and our. All of those are personal pronouns we, you, us, our, me, all of us are in, these are pronouns that the apostle teaches to the church, to all of you, to all of us. But when we begin to read the last part of this revelation, the second revelation, we don't find those personal, it's either first or second person, but we don't find those in any of these other last verses of this chapter. Now notice, we find them, they, their, themselves, they, them, themselves, and they. In other words, it's speaking here about not to you as the church, but about them. And by the way, these verses are not written to them. They're written about them. But the verses are written to us, and there is a very vivid contrast between these two revelations. Now I'm just going to touch on those a little bit as we go along. But the first one is a particular special revelation. It's revealed to those who believe, to those who have faith. The next revelation is a general revelation to generally those people who are out there in the ungodly world. Now notice I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And if you study that word, hold the truth, people want to take these words kind of out of the context and make them mean these are children of God because they're holding the truth. The word hold the truth in this verse does not mean they're holding it like we are, but it literally means they're suppressing it and holding it away. Now, you will very easily see that as we go through these verses. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What is it that reveals God to these folks? It's not the gospel. They do not have faith. I can say they because that's what Paul said. They don't have faith. Therefore, they cannot believe the message that you and I believe until they have been born of the Spirit of God. But there is the creation of God. It says the invisible things are clearly seen. We have in Psalms 110, it says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. From day unto day and from night unto night, it's speech. It goes out to all the world. So, he says here, verse 21, because that they, when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful, but their vain imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible beast, man and birds and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, so we see the flavor here that we're seeing here in these verses. Now, I'm gonna skip a lot, and I commend all these verses to you. Notice verse 28, and we're gonna skip some. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness." I want you to think about this now and think about those out there in the world that we hear these things happening all the time. "But they are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, bold, proud, boasters, boasters, inventions of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now, do you think that God would describe His children as that way? Now, I'm not saying that these are non-elect. What I'm saying is they're unregenerate. They do not have faith to believe the message that you and I believe. And until they do, they will continue in this path. Now, I'm getting up to a point where I want to introduce to you a principle that we as the Primitive Baptist and other groups also hold very strongly to these. And several years ago, we have what we call our Articles of Faith. And when these were first put out in 1900, that's AD 1900, they were just printed out and they didn't have any scriptural references. And my point that Brother Andy and I discussed these things, that if you're going to have a principle set forth that you believe, it better be supported by scripture. It cannot be my opinion or your opinion. It must be according to thus saith the Lord. And so, and if you don't have these, they're readily available in our, in back there, Daryl can make you a copy of them, but they are on our website. There's multiple materials. Daryl has done a wonderful job of building up our website. And there's many things on there, articles of various doctrines and principles that we have. And so really, it says they are without excuse, but we're also without excuse because the materials are there and we should be studying God's Word so that we will be able to answer anybody that asks us for the reason that we believe these things. Now, is that unreasonable? He says, search the Scriptures. We as God's people we have such a, and I said this last week, we have 66 books of inspired Scriptures. And we neglect them to our own demise. When we think of it, now I want to introduce to you, and I thank Brother Devin for kind of getting me off on this. He wrote me an email. He'd been on our website, and I'm talking about Devin England. He wrote me on our website, and he had two questions. He said, I've been looking for a church that believes in these things. And he says, I want to know, how are people saved according to your verses? Well, what I copied some of these articles along, but I want to read Article 4 because that's the point I want to make this morning, okay? And we believe, we as the church right here constituted in 1900, we believe that the entire human family are dead in trespasses and sin by reason of the first transgression and are utterly unable to recover themselves from their fallen condition. Now, I'll read that again. I want you to get it. If you don't have, go and get one of these articles of faith. And I went through quite a bit of work to get these scriptures in here for you. So it's not a whole lot of work for you to turn to the Bible and read these. Okay? I'm not getting on to him, just Satan saying. We should be able by these scriptures to go down and somebody ask us, well, what is the difference between you and the other Baptists? What's the difference between you and this one over here? You should be readily give them an answer. If you can't, then you haven't studied enough. That's just simple. Okay? Now, we believe that the entire human family, that's every Adam creature, are dead in trespasses and in sin. And sins by reason of the first transgression and are utterly able to recover themselves from their fallen condition. Okay? Now, that's the article. And I'm going to go through some of those scriptures that I've pointed out to you this morning. And as I said before, we can't get to Romans 8 until we get through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7. And if the Lord blesses me, I'm going to bring some more of these points back to you in other times. Obviously, I can't speak on all these today, but I'm going to get as far as we can. So we have these principles set forth. Now notice the last verse of chapter 1. And it's talking about these people that we've just talked about. Oh, and there's one more principle I want to talk to you, bring very quickly to your minds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says there that I might as well go there and read it. I can't get exactly the wording. So, you know, it's always better to read. That way you don't mess it up. He says, now this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the principle I want to get to, and I'll point it out. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know, now notice this, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. You were idolaters. You were carried away unto these idolaters, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. So, if you cannot, by the Spirit of God that lives within your soul, from the Spirit and from your heart, say that Jesus is accursed. You may be with your mouth, like Peter, deny him, but from the soul, from the heart, from that inner man, from that regenerated creature inside of you, you cannot call Jesus accursed. Now, notice it says, and the rest of that, it says, and no man, I want you to see this, no man can say, language is important, no man can say that Jesus is Lord. Do you say that Jesus is Lord? Every one of us will say, amen, I believe Jesus is Lord. Well, it says no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So if you confess that Jesus is your Lord, it's because the Holy Ghost has taught it to you. That's simple scriptures. But it's so hard sometimes to get these principles across to people that have these preconceived ideas about how a person is saved. And I, as I pointed out to Brother Devin, if you believe this Article 4, there's only one way that you can get to heaven. Because I want to now go through some of these verses very quickly. Now notice chapter 2 begins with therefore. And I said this last week, all of these connector verses, all these verses are connected. When you got a connecting verse like therefore, wherefore, likewise, but, and all of these verses, they're pointing back to something else. And we see this word therefore because he's going to tell you and to tell you about all those things back there. I believe in this first chapter, we could say that all of these maybe are Gentiles, but the Jews are also just like them. That's what he's going to tell us in this second chapter. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another, wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. He said, you're condemning these people for doing the things that these people are doing, but you're doing the same thing they're doing. And you're supposed to be God's people. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. God's judgment is against, and we need to learn to leave judgment to God. He's going to do it. We have not the authority to say that person is a child of God and that one isn't. Well, these people that's up here, I want you to understand that every single one of us were just like these people described in Rome. Maybe you say, well, I wasn't ever a hater of God. Well, because maybe God preserved you from that thing. But it says in Rome, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And it says, in times past you walked according to the course of this world and were by nature, I want you to understand this, by nature you're the children of wrath just like them. We're all in the same bucket. And that's what he's going to tell these pharisaical, self-righteous Jews. Now he says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same yourself, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Do you think that because He did. He chose Israel out of all the nations of the world. He chose them not because they was the greatest people or because they was the most holy, but He chose them for His glory. He set His name upon them. The word Israel means Prince of God. That's what he calls them, Israel. But we've done a lot of studying in our Bible studies. There's a lot of things that Israel did. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that every one of these things that is pointed out in Romans chapter 1, the Jews, the Gentiles were guilty of all of those things? Would you believe that they were backbiters? And now I want to point out a word here, and I looked the word up, if I can get my little definition back up here. I want you to look at the word, and Mick, I'll challenge you to do this. The word in chapter 1, verse 31, there is a word there called implacable. What does that mean? We don't use that word hardly ever. The M in front of it means not placable. But the word implacable means one that cannot be appeased. He cannot be appeased. He cannot be subdued, or he cannot be rendered peaceable. This description that God has given. He is one who is stubborn and consistently at enmity against God. That's the name that the Holy Spirit gave this man, these people. Implacable. You know, some people say deplorable. We're deplorable. Well, I don't know if I'd rather be a deplorable or an implacable, but both of them are pretty bad. But that's the point. This is the condition of all of them. And these Jews thought they were better than everybody else. Now notice, he goes on, and I'm very quickly. I know I'm not going to get very far in this. But now notice, he says, or despisest thou the rich, verse 4 of chapter 2, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing. There's some place in some things we know, but this says these people don't know this. Not knowing that the goodness of God, leadeth thee to repentance. You know, there's people saying, repent, repent, repent. Well, if you repent, it's because God led you there. I mean, these people cannot, and that's what our article says, they cannot quit sinning. They cannot, they are sinning machines. And just like us, we are sinning machines. There is not a good thought in, from a natural standpoint, in our entire being. You say, that's pretty, this is dark stuff, Brother Allen. Well, this is the beginning of Romans. And we got to read this before we get to 8. You don't understand. You will never understand what a marvelous thing grace is. You'll never understand grace at all until you understand what you are by nature. You will never understand that by grace you're saved unless you understand that you were a sinner, saved by grace. Apostle Paul said this is an acceptable saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't say whom I used to be chief. If you don't understand that you are a sinner, you don't have need of any grace. Grace is an unmerited favor bestowed upon an unworthy, hell-bound creature. I'll add that one in there. So, listen to the goodness. He says that you don't understand that the goodness of God is what leads somebody to repent. You don't understand that. But after the hardness, now he's talking to the Jews. But after the hardness and impenitent, your heart treasures up under thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. There's a judgment coming? But guess what? We have been delivered from the wrath to come. But not anything we did to do that either. Now notice, verse 6, God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them, now here's two different people. To them who are patient, continuance in well-doing, if you're patient and you continue in well-doing and seeking for God's glory and honor, you have immortality and eternal life. Did you see that statement? If you're continuing in these things, then you have immortality and eternal life. But, you see the word but, Mick? But, unto them that are contentious, I could put that in there, implacable. To them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Ah, got them all together now, doesn't he? But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is, did you ever hear this? You might hear this in a different context. You might pull it out of context and apply it to something else. For there is no respecter of persons with God. God does not respect you out because of your color, because of your nation, because of who your parents were, or any of these other things. God is no respecter of person, but he knows who you are. And he sees everything you do. That's scary, isn't it? For as many, now listen to this verse 12. For as many as have sinned, here he's going to bring in both of these groups. For as many have sinned without the law, that's the Gentiles. The Jews received the law of God, and they were given to, and Moses brought it out, and all of these things, they received the oracles of God. That's what he asked in chapter 3. Well, what advantage hath the Jew? Well, he says, in much and every way, for to them were given the oracles of God. Very advantage. But what did it profit them? He says, and it says in one place, the gospel was preached to all of them, but it wasn't mixed by faith. So it didn't do them any good. For as many as have sinned without law, that's the Gentiles, shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, he brings in a parenthetical. And I sometimes, you know, when you see a parenthesis, that's an added thought. You could actually leave the script, the parentheses out and go to the very next verse and it'll be perfect sense. I'll do that very, very quickly and show you. It said, I want to read verse 12 and then I'm going to skip to verse 16, okay? Because that's where the parenthetical starts. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus according to my gospel. You see, he tells us when that's going to happen. It's when in that day. We don't know that day. But note, I want to get the parenthetical because it's important information in here, okay? Notice, not the hearers of the law are just before God. You say, I hear the word. He said, the ones that hear the word, they're not, you're hearing it, but hearing it is not where you get your blessing from. It says, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Those that do it. You know, that's one of the things that Jesus said in John 13. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Yeah, the blessing doesn't come in hearing them. The blessing comes in doing them. Now notice, when the Gentiles, he's going to talk about these Gentiles who are doing something that the law tells the Jews to do. Notice what he says. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show when you find somebody that's doing the will of God and obeying and following the commandments, knowing that it's wrong to commit adultery, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to do all of these things, And they have a compassionate love for their fellow man. That's not the cause of their salvation, but it's the evidence of it. And that's what he's saying here. These Gentiles don't have the law like you do, but they're doing the things contained in the law. So this is an evidence. It is a witness to them and to us. Now notice it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. What is the conscience? You see, the conscience is the buffer. It's the buffer between the old man and the new man. You hear somebody whisper in one ear over here, do this. And the other one says, oh no, that's not right. It says things to you. There's something inside of you that knows that this is wrong. Listen to that still, small voice. The conscience. You know, I've told my children this. If it seems wrong, it probably is. You say, well, it just doesn't seem right. And these children over here and all of us, if some of your friends want you to do this and you want to do that, and there's something inside of you that just simply says, that's not right, and my mom and dad probably wouldn't like me doing that, and God wouldn't like it either. So listen to that voice. The conscience is speaking. You know, the conscience. Did you understand that when man is that when man when we talk about the total depravity of man, that he's talking about every ounce of our being, body, soul, and spirit. That the will of man is depraved, and just like their body and their flesh and all these, and the conscience. If you have a conscience that makes you feel guilty when you do something bad, that is an evidence that God is in there. That's what he's saying right here. Behold, thou art, now this is verse 17, behold, thou art a called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God. You're a Jew, and you say, and that's exactly what they were saying to Jesus and the apostles. Well, we've never been in bondage to anybody. We're the special people of God. We're all going to heaven, and all these dogs and all of these people out here that don't have this, that, you know, they're like that poor publican. I'm just glad I'm not like him. You see, they're the ones that put on all these airs and do all these things, and they're always looking down on somebody else. Notice he's going to handle these. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. You have it. And you have this law here, and it says, thou shalt not do these things, and it tells us all of these things, and it says, you think you're doing them. Isn't that what you remember the rich young ruler, Brother Tom? He said, what good thing must I do? May I have eternal life? I mean, hitting the I key. What good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? And what Jesus said, well, what does the law say? He said, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt, and he goes all the way through all these different things. He said, I've already done all them from my youth. But he says, one thing you lack. Just one. You think you've done all of them? You know, I've kept all them all my life. That's what he said. He's making his boast. He said, one thing you lack. Go and sell all that thou hast. Give to the poor and follow me. And he went away sad and sorrowful because he was very rich. He was not willing to lay those things down and follow the Lord. I'm not. I believe that he was a child of God. I really do. Because it says in Mark 10, Jesus beholding him loved him. But he was not committed to Jesus. They were making their boast about all these. And it says, and you're confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind and light to men of darkness. He said, there's people in the world say, today, oh, if you want to know anything about God, come and ask me. And I'll explain all to you. I'm really, really got this down. I'm smart. I've really got it down. That's what he's saying. You think you're a blind. You're a guide to all these people. An instructor, notice, and it says, and you think you're an instructor to an instructor of the foolish babes. You know, you're just the one that's going to teach everybody how to do everything right. Which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law, in the law. Therefore, listen, thou which teachest another, teachest not thyself also? You say, while you're teaching somebody else, are you not also teaching yourself? Thou preachest a man should not steal. Do you steal? Thou sayest a man should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? Thou abhorrest idols. You hate idols. Do you commit sacrilege? That's what he's asking this pharisaical person that thinks he has it all down. Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? That's a question. Do you not understand that when you preach all this stuff, and that's why when I point one finger out here, I got all these pointing back to me. I must be able to follow the things. I have the same thing that you do. And I'm a sinner just like you, saved by the grace of God, if saved at all. And you can say amen if you want to, and I'll say amen too. Amen. And I'm going to have to finish this chapter, and then we're going to have to start somewhere else next time. Okay? Obviously, I'm not done. Now notice, and I'm going to finish chapter 2. Now, notice what he's asked him, thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking of the law, do you not dishonor God? For the name of, now, this, listen to this. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. As it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, that's who they were considered dogs. Therefore, if the Gentiles keep the righteousness of the law, shall not that righteousness or that uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And shall not, and I know circumcision was something that they said, you go read all this. You have to do this. You have to keep the law of Moses and do this, or you can't be saved. You can't be saved. Period. You're going to hell if you don't do all these things that I'm telling you to do. And that's why he said, you are a guide to all these people. But the Gentiles, he said, God's name, that's what he said, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And now I'll get to, this is, Brother Bill loved this verse. Brother Bill McCarthy, verse 28 and 29. He identifies what a true Jew is. A true Jew. Somebody, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And this text is going to become very important to our knowledge as we get over into some of these other chapters in Romans, especially Romans chapter 9, where it says, not all Israel is Israel. So if we don't understand these principles, we're not going to understand that. Not all Israel is Israel. What he's saying here, that not all of national Israel is of the spiritual Israel. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh. They thought doing something naturally and outside and doing all these things, that's what made you become a child of God. And if you don't do that, then you're not. That's just simple, isn't it? And we have the same kind of people telling the same kind of things to people who cannot hear the word. They're trying to preach to the people that are dead. I mean, to me, it's just simple logic. It says, you hath he quickened who were dead. So these people are trying, are these, the ones that are preaching these gospels to people out there in the world. They want to get them, they're dead in sin. They're not children of God. And if they will do this and they do this and they have all kinds of rules and laws that they need to do in order to become a child of God, not knowing that they can't do anything. The dead man can't act. There is no, when you talk about dead, there is no degrees of that. You're either dead or you're alive. There's no dead or deadest. You say, well, the man's dead. Well, how dead is he? That's a ridiculous statement. But it says, you hath he quickened who were dead. You were dead. Now you're alive. Now then you have the ability to hear, believe, and understand the gospel. You've been given faith to believe. These people that we're talking about, and some of these Jews and a lot of these Gentiles, they don't have it. But here's what a Jew is. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart. When we're born to the Spirit of God, there is a circular cutting. There is a putting away of something old and bringing something new in. And I don't need to say that anymore. You can compare the analogy. A Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is of the heart in the spirit. In the spirit. You're circumcised by the Spirit of God, not by natural man. Not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So when somebody that is doing the things that they say we need to be doing, that's not what causes them to be children of God. You know, I had a wonderful old uncle. I loved him dearly. I don't know if he was ever baptized. I don't know if he ever went to, I know he didn't go to church very often. My aunt would go to church and he'd take her to church, but he wouldn't go in. And some people, by the standard of the world, would say that man, when he died, he's in the other place. He went straight there. But I'm telling you, that man was, he was my uncle, and I loved him, and he loved me. And he was a kind, compassionate man. He did the things that the church folks said you ought to be doing. He was already doing those things, loving people and taking care of the neighbor and working for other people. And I never heard him say a cuss word. I never heard him talk about anybody. And we could probably learn a few things from my Uncle Al. I believe with all my soul and heart that the man is in eternal glory today. But he never went to church. He was never baptized. He was doing the things that this Bible says that the Gentiles by nature were doing. And there's something, he couldn't go out here and cheat people. Why? Why not? Because his conscience convicted him. There's a lot of people like that out there that we need to be looking for and trying to comfort. I'm not done, but I gotta quit. It's almost 5 after. I hope that you'll study these articles of faith. Get the Bible down and when it says a verse, don't just read, oh yeah, that's good. But take your Bible and read those scriptures that I have put out there for your benefit. And it says it'll make you wise. And to salvation. It won't bring salvation, but it'll sure bring you a lot of joy.